Hockey Talk, morning, noon, and night. Calgary's home for the NHL. Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary Flames Radio. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your luggage and the family dog to the next hockey tournament. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
It is 9:05 on your Tuesday morning, busy hour. The snow show at about 9:25 as the world of beer and mountain snow collide. Huh? We'll figure that out. Also, some thoughts from you on the text line 960-960 before we get to 10. Blue Jays Grapefruit League season opens today. But right now, let's focus our attention on the Adirondack Flames. We're joined by the head coach, Ryan Huska. Morning, Ryan.
Morning, Ryan. How are you doing?
I am very well. This has been a crazy whirlwind 48 hours for you, I'm sure. All eyes in the NHL and around the big cities in North America have been on all the trades we've seen. But what's it like from the AHL perspective?
Well, I think it was fairly calm down here. I think the players down here realized that Calgary's kind of in retool mode. And I think for the most part, our younger players have all been through trade deadlines, whether that's through junior hockey or prior season. So I really don't think it was a time where it created that much anxiety or nervousness around our room. I think it went over fairly well.
Obviously, a few parts that you're awfully familiar with have changed places, be it either transactions between Calgary and Adirondack or the departure of Sven Berchi. Why don't we start there? How was your first season working with Sven?
It was good. I enjoyed, you know, he was a player that I think came into the year with his confidence level offensively wasn't where it was a number of years ago when I knew him with the Portland Winterhawks. And I think over the course of the beginning portion of the season, he started to feel a little bit more comfortable offensively. And I guess to the point where he was starting to become a guy on our power play that we were seeing make skilled plays every night. So we were feeling like his game was coming back again to the point where he made himself a valuable commodity. And I think Calgary was in a position where they kind of had to decide what was best for their organization. And I guess at that point, they determined that second round pick was fairly important.
We are joined by Ryan Huska, the head coach of the Adirondack Flames. Now, Ryan, am I getting this right? You're on a bus to Hamilton right now?
Yeah, we're on the road. We have about a six-hour trip here in front of us today. We have a big game against Hamilton tomorrow night, and then we have a weekend set with Toronto. So this is an important week for us, for sure.
And a lot of moving parts. I don't even know exactly who's with you now because of the chaos of trade deadline day. We've seen Ferland, Wotherspoon, Shore, Granlund, Poirier all up and down in the last little bit. Who have you got out of that group with you?
Just right now, Tyler Woods, he's the only one right now. But there's a lot of moving parts, as you mentioned, where we're kind of expecting things to change almost daily over the next little while until, you know, Calgary gets their makeup set in regards to injuries and who they want to have around at this time. So things are changing daily, or I could say from each phone call that we do get. So to answer your question for sure, short note, Tyler's with us right now, and that's all we have so far.
For those not familiar with the rules, yesterday was kind of an important day on the AHL calendar as players had to be on rosters at 3 Eastern to qualify for the playoffs. Can you walk us through sort of how that works and what I think is called the clear day list or something along those lines?
Yeah, and that's all kind of new to me. It's the first time I've been through that, but from what I understand, the NHL teams have 4 call-ups from this point forward, unless there's an emergency situation where, of course, they're able to bring some other players up. And as far as I'm aware, the players that were basically on the Flames roster yesterday at that clear day at 3 o'clock time are, as far as I know, again, I don't want to be quoted on this, but ineligible for our playoffs should we were able to get our team into the playoff mix in the NHL here. So I think that's why you see a lot of players get sent down. And then shortly after that deadline, they get recalled again, you know, because of a need or necessity with their NHL team, but they also make them available for a playoff should we get ourselves into them this year.
It's a fine balancing act, and I know the big club still has designs on making the playoffs despite that tough injury to Giordano. You guys are having a solid season as well. Where are you at in the cycle of this AHL season? Because the team you start with in October never seems to look a lot like the one you end up with by the time playoffs roll around.
You know, that's been probably one of the bigger learning experiences for us as a staff. We started the year with a lot of injuries up top, so we had quite a few different bodies around, and then we had a little bit of normalcy where we had a lot of bodies around here because Calgary was healthy, we were healthy, and now it's kind of gone the other way where we've had a lot of players up again. And when we do get guys that go up, it's exciting for us. You know, we want them to do really well, and we want them to help Calgary in their push for a playoff run. And if one or two of them can contribute somewhere along the line that gives Calgary an advantage, then we're pretty excited down here for our players that are getting that opportunity.
So what's at stake here on this road trip? You've got Hamilton and then two at Toronto before you return home with another against Hamilton. I mean, this is a lot of divisional battles, right?
Yeah, a lot, Ryan. You know, we had a stretch of games at the beginning of the year where we played just about every second night. And for February or January and February, we went through quite a low in our schedule where teams beat up a lot of ground on us. Now we're sitting in a situation where we have 2 to 6 games in hand on a lot of teams because we haven't played much over the last little while. But now we're in a position where we're once again playing every second night until the end of the year. So we're going to be busy, and a lot of those games are against teams that are our divisional rivals. And as you mentioned, two teams that we're basically neck and neck with and chasing for the final few playoff spots in Hamilton and Toronto. We see them a lot here over the next little while.
Boy, it's a tight race, too. You look at the games played or not even. You've got as many as 4 in hand on teams just a few points ahead of you. This is what it's all about, right, this time of year?
It is, absolutely. And you know what kind of makes it even a little bit better? You face a little bit of adversity. We've talked about call-ups and injuries. We're missing a few in both categories. And this gives other players an opportunity to bring a little bit more to the table within our group setting. And I think that's what makes the AHL kind of exciting, because it could be someone that you brought up from the East Coast League to fill a spot for a little while, or one of these players maybe is getting a little more ice time that becomes a difference maker for you. And everybody right now has that opportunity, and we expect our group to raise their level collectively.
What's your crease look like these days? How are you splitting the workload with Yoni Ortio down with injury?
Yeah, that's a tough loss. You know, when you lose a guy like that, I guess for our team, you can kind of compare it to the Calgary Flames losing Giordano. So he's not a guy that you can easily replace. We're fortunate we have a couple of good goaltenders here that we can rely on here, and Brad Beeson and Doug Carr. So Brad's been a guy that will likely get the majority of the starts down the road or throughout the remainder of the season. He's a guy that has been an AHL All-Star in the past and has seen some time in the NHL, so he's a guy that's capable. And Doug Carr, he's one guy that was very good for us at training camp all the way through. He's gone down to Colorado, and he's played very well down there. So we're expecting him not just to come and be a guy that's going to fill the other net for us, but we want him to be a guy that pushes and not only gives our team a chance to win, but a guy that maybe is forcing our hand to give him some more starts because he's playing so well, and hopefully his process can write a pretty good story for himself.
What's David Wolf like since his looked like since his return? I know he was as hot as you could be on when he was called up to Calgary and then had a bit of an injury setback. But what's he looked like since his return?
He's been good. You know, I think anytime players come down, for the most part, they're disappointed. But at the same time, they're excited to be in the lineup on a consistent basis and getting a chance to contribute, where maybe they feel a little bit more comfortable. And Dave come down and he's played the same way. You know, he hasn't changed how hard he works. He's very competitive, and we feel like when he is in our lineup, our team, our collective work ethic, it goes up. He's contagious, and he's a guy that plays with a lot of passion to the game, and we're happy to have him back. Hopefully we can continue to get him to develop to the point where he can get a few more games or get another look sometime down the road here.
As for two recent graduates for your club to the Calgary Flames, tell us about Emile Poirier's season, a late start due to the shoulder, and maybe what you've seen out of Drew Shore when I don't know that he was expecting one game and down to the AHL after the trade, but it seems like he's had been patient to get the chance to be back in the lineup again tonight.
Yeah, well, for Drew, I'll start with him. I think when he did come back down, he came down with a good attitude again, and I think that's half the battle. When you have good people, they come to work and they try to make themselves better. And that's something that Drew has done. We asked him kind of to slow his game down a little bit in our own zone in particular and make sure he's a little bit more patient being around our defense. So that was something that he's had to adjust from future years. And the rest of the ice is where we really wanted to use his speed and pick it up. But our big challenge to him was to make sure he was always around pucks. So he had an opportunity to generate a little bit more offensively. And over the last few games, we've seen that from him. You know, Miola, he's a pretty good story. You know, he was a guy that everybody knew had offensive ability, but over the course of the year, he's really focused on becoming a better 200-foot player. And he doesn't take as many high-risk chances anymore. I think he understands the importance sometimes of simply just putting a puck in behind defense and so you're not creating turnovers. So we've seen him generate a lot of offense for us using his speed at our level. It's something that I think he can continue to do with the Calgary Flames. And it's probably the best part for us, though, is he's become a guy that's more reliable and isn't all run and done, but a person that we're totally fine with having on the ice later in games.
Ryan, I really appreciate you taking time on the bus. I know that's not always the funnest place to do an interview, but best of luck on this road swing through Ontario and then coming back home with these divisional games. It's awfully tight, and we wish you well against Hamilton.
Thanks very much, Ryan. Take care.
All right, that is Ryan Huska, the head coach of the Adirondack Flames. And, man, it is tight. If you're looking at the Western Conference standings for the AHL version of the Flames, they've been in the thick of a playoff race, even flirting with home ice for a lot of the season. They find themselves 10th in the West right now, which sounds worse than it is because they have two games in hand on ninth place, three games on hand on the team in the final playoff spot, four games in hand on Hamilton, who sits 7th, and only 5 points ahead of them, and also every other team in the standings they've got games in hand on. It seems like most of the league has played 2 to 4 more games than Adirondack, and a crucial stretch right here because of just the nature of those four-point games. Toronto behind them, just even in points, but played a couple more. Hamilton ahead of them, playing 4 more games, and just 5 points ahead. This is a massive stretch for Adirondack. And let's keep in mind, Drew Shore just recalled. Ferland and Poirier joining the team in New York early last week. Granlund was down, is now back up with a big club. And Tyler Watherspoon and Corey Potter have also spent some time up lately. So it is never easy. It is not a static roster in that league. And let's not forget, maybe their MVP, certainly one of their most important players, Joni Ortio, goes down with what sounded like a high ankle sprain or an injury of that variety 4 to 6 weeks, and that was, what, a week and a half ago? So work cut out for them, but this is certainly where you see what the kids are made of, and they're not the only team in the league going through this. Every NHL team that is shedding a body here or there at the deadline or is dealing with injuries goes down to the minors and calls up their players. The three leading scorers of the Abbotsford Heat, Drew Shore, Emil Poirier, Sven Berchi, none of them today wake up on the roster. David Wolf, now leading the team in scoring. He's got 23 points in 39 games. That's just the nature of the AHL. It is a weird league and probably the only league you can name where your roster in the springtime might not even resemble more than 5, 6, 7 players, the one that you start with. Is that the David Wolf? Do we need David Wolf update? His first pro season in North America, David Wolf, 13 goals, 23 points. He's been good. And back down with Adirondack leading them in scoring. So thank you, Jay. The big stretch here coming up for the Flames, and we thank Ryan Huska for doing that. Imagine being on the bus, like, how's the coach talking about us? Not a fun interview. So we thank Ryan for that and wish them well. We'll take a break. When we come back, it is Snow Show Tuesday. You know what it's all about. We do it for Lewis Performance Center. Today, the final snow show of the year. Lots of skiing left. We'll talk about that as a big snow month ahead. Traditionally, March, very good for the mountains. As we check in with a man named Rocket and someone who brews beer with snow from mountain peaks. We're going out with a bang. The snow show next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Get connected. Text 960-960 to get your voice heard. Ryan Pinder in the morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your kids' hockey team to practice. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
9:24, it is Tuesday morning, and apparently we've got some big news around the corner today as the Calgary Stampeders have a major announcement to make. This media release sent out by the Stampeders this morning. The Calgary Stampeders will hold a press conference today at 11 a.m. to make a major football announcement. press conference will be held at McMahon Stadium, obviously, and we'll be all over that one. Big Show will have reaction to that. What is it? Arash Madani seems to know, and we will chat with Arash at about a quarter to 10. Stan Peters, major announcement. What could it be? And we'll find out. Tune in to about 20 to 10 for that one. Before we get there, though, the snow show every Tuesday, our last one of the season. Yes, you know, it is the beginning of spring when the Blue Jays open their Grapefruit League schedule. And, of course, the snow show coming to an end. A great first year for the snow show is always brought to you by Lewes Performance Center. Unmatched technical ski expertise. Visit www.lewes.ca. Lewes has been a great sponsor this year. Great to have him on. And as you heard from him last week, this is the time of year you save money on ski gear, skis, equipment, everything in the store, probably marked down, or at least the majority of stuff. He was saying a lot of the this year's skis, in terms of the stuff that's been selling since the fall, 40% off, considerable savings, and a lot of snow still remaining as a lot of the resorts around Calgary here will be going until late May. I know Sunshine goes through May long. Lake Louise usually a week or two earlier they close, but still 2 months, really. Almost 2 months of skiing remaining, so it's a chance to save some dough and also see the best in the city and likely in the country in terms of technical expertise, getting you in the stuff that fits, and what kind of skier are you? What kind of performance do you need from a ski? It's not someone making a minimum wage working on a job on the side when they're going to university. It's someone that knows the sport inside and out. Lewes Performance Center, again, and more information at www.lewes.ca. Today on the Snow Show, bit of a different spin as some of the local ski resorts around Western Canada teamed up with a local brewery. For that, a conversation we had last week. We go there now. Well, I love it when universes collide. It is the snow show Tuesday morning, but it's not just snow. We've also got a beer factor that comes in today, which is awesome. I want to welcome Adam Coates and Rocket Miller to the snow show. I am here, and to my right, I see a Kokanee beer, ice cold, and it says Peak Brew by Kokanee. Adam, we'll start with you. What the heck is Peak Brew?
So Peak Brew is a unique batch of your favorite mountain beer, which is Kokanee. And what we did was we went to seven mountaintops across Western Canada, collected pristine snow from the farthest reaches on the mountain, and made an epic batch of your favorite Kokanee beer.
And I guess that's where the man to my right, Rocket Miller, comes in. First off, how do you get a name like Rocket? What's going on here?
Well, the good old fashion sport of hockey.
Really?
True story.
Like Richard.
True story.
So you were known as Rocket on the rink growing up.
Well, maybe it was a little tongue-in-cheek there. A fleeting moment of brilliance.
All right. Rocket on the ski hill, though. This is what you do for a living, right?
Yes.
So you're, is it snow patrol or is it avalanche safety? What's the job title?
It's part of the snow safety team, but I've done a lot of avalanche control at the ski area there, yes.
And specifically with Lake Louise.
Specifically.
So Adam and the folks at Kokanee say, we got to get some special snow to make this amazing beer with. And they come to you with the task of doing exactly what?
Well, we strategically place the canisters at the top of the mountain on the leeward side so that the wind would fill those things with a little wind-driven snow. And that worked out real well. And so we filled a number of them and sent them off to Creston for, well, to brew that fine brew.
So this is from the top of what mountain? It's saying a Whitehorn Mountain.
Whitehorn, yep.
How easy is getting to the summit of Whitehorn? How'd you do it?
Well, you kick in some steps and walk through the snow and get up there. We were on the leeward side. It's a little steeper on that side. And, inch your way across there, throw a few bombs like the video shows and secure the place and get the canister in the right spot and wait till they all got filled and bailed them out of there.
You mentioned the video. Sherpa Cinema, a Whistler-based group with actually some Calgary guys that are involved with the company, filmed all this happening.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You're making it sound easy, like any old Joe could get the skis on and climb up there. But you can check out the video on youtube.com/Kokanee. You have explosives to get rid of avalanches from up there. It's you look like you're on top of the world. I know we're in the Rockies, but it sort of looked like you're on Everest. You were so high.
Yeah, no, the Sherpas can make most things look great. And no, it is the peak of Mount Whitehorn. It's the top of our place there, and the views from there are unbelievable.
What's the feedback been, Adam? This is kind of cool. How do people find these beers, and where did this idea even start?
Sure. I mean, you can find the beer just about any retailer across Alberta and across Western Canada. But the whole idea is, you know, Kokanee's always been about the mountains, about Western Canadian pride, and it's been born and bred in BC as well as in the mountains that are so close and dear to our heart here. So, you know, it's really about celebrating, you know, Kokanee's heritage and what it's all about, and that glacier, you know, fresh taste that you get. And, you know, we're just taking it to the next level here with an epic batch, you know, made right from the snow from our favorite mountains that we like to go to, you know, on weekends and we're, when we're on vacation, that kind of thing. And, you know, there's nothing better than cracking a beer, especially a Kokanee, out on the patio of Lake Louise or any other mountain. And that's one of the best beers that we have going. And now you can actually, you know, drink where you skied potentially.
That's cool. And you know what? Rocket was playing it down. You've seen the video. This is not normal activity at Louise. He's putting his life on the line, it appears, trying to get the snow for you.
Oh, he took great care, and you know, as he normally does, help keep Lake Louise safe. And you know, he went out to the reaches of Lake Louise to go grab it, just like all our local heroes did. You know, Rory Bushfield out in Whistler, and you know, Gunner at Marmot Basin. You know, a few other guys. There's a few other videos on that YouTube site that you mentioned before, just showing the extreme nature that we went to get the freshest snow for this batch of Kokanee.
That's pretty cool. So you've got snow from Marmot as well as Fernie, also Louise, as we've mentioned, and Whistler Blackcomb.
Yeah, as well as, you know, Kicking Horse, Kimberley, and Nikiska. Also, wow, we pulled snow from there as well. So we have seven summits, I should say, that we collected snow and, you know, brought it all back to our brewery in Creston and Edmonton and made, you know, a great batch. You know, it's going to taste just like your regular Kokanee, you know, crisp and clean. But just know that that a part of that Rocket had a big piece in that, as well as some of the other mountain folks that we have working with us.
All right, we got to try this thing, right?
Only like fair.
Oh, give her.
And I don't know if I'm going to get fired or not, but what the heck? Like, you know, it's the peak beer. I got to try this, right? Peak brew from Kokanee. Let's have a listen here. Oh, one of the greatest sounds on earth, isn't it?
True story.
Well, you got two glasses here. Rocket and I are going to sample it, because if I know anything about Adam and his job, he's got all the beer he wants, and he's probably tried this already. Have you tried this yet, Rocket?
Yes, I have. Before? Yeah, last night, in fact, at some staff appreciation night.
Well, I tell you what, you're sounding pretty good for a guy that was sampling it last night.
I had to drive.
Very good. Let's cheers. Right on. Give it a try. There it is. Isn't that nice? So snow from Whitehorn Mountain Peak, retrieved yourself to make that beer right there. Pretty cool.
From the mountaintop to the canister to your lips.
That's a whole new meaning on farm to table, I think, hey?
Yeah, maybe not farm to table, but mountain peak to your mouth. I like it. Tell us about some of the other ones, because we saw Rocket's video. What were some of the other ways you got to the snow? Because I see some guys had to go helicopter. You had some X Games guys doing stuff. What are the others, aside from Rocket's ascent to Whitehorn? There's got to be some other good ones.
Yeah, so, you know, Roy Bushfield out in Whistler, he actually jumped out of a helicopter and to land on the peak there to grab his snow. We also took a cat driver, so Gunner, up at Marmot Basin.
So a big groomer, cat.
Yeah, exactly. He drove a cat all the way up to the top. So, you know, not the easiest way to get the fresh snow, but, you know, wanted to put some effort into it and get the best stuff we could.
And then it looks like at Fernie, you had a guy up in a helicopter as well. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's unique talent that we have out here in Western Canada, and it's for a unique brew. And you know, we're really excited that you know, that our local mountains and the folks in and around those areas have grabbed on to the idea. And you know, hopefully everyone can get out there and get a chance to try it.
Yeah, and lots of ski season left, Rocket. I was talking with our sponsor Lou from Lou's Performance Center. He's saying, "Look, we're halfway done the ski season. There's still 3 months until." A lot of these resorts, especially your higher altitude, Louise especially. What's it like right now?
Lake Louise is doing just fine. We've, you know, we're on the right side of the mountain to stay cool, not warm. And our mountain has survived quite well, and the skiing is really, really good. I'm saying come on up.
Yeah, and these are usually big months in terms of snowfall. March is a big one, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've got a great big cake, and anything on top of this is going to be a beautiful creamy icing. And
sure.
And so, come on up, ski. It's great. You're right. There's still 2.5-3 months of skiing left in the Rockies, and long days now. You're going to have a beautiful day.
Yeah, you're going to need one of these at the end of the day.
Yeah, and, you know, Kokanee helps you out get to the mountain as well. So on every case of Peak Brew, there's a coupon for $6 off your lift ticket. So it gets you on your way and helps you get to the top of the mountain. And then after a day of skiing, it can get you a beer as well.
You can pay it back. That sounds good. You get the $6 off, and you buy your beer at the end of the day. And Rocket yourself, what's your average work week like? Are you on your skis 5 days a week, every day?
No, I'm on skis every day. There's a little bit of that paperwork in our world, but for the most part, the job is on the mountain, and it's you gotta keep your eyes open, stay close to the slopes, ear to the tracks, all those anecdotes. But yeah, you gotta stay in touch and ready for anything.
Yeah, well, keep up the good work up there. We'll see you before the end of the ski year. I've already been up a couple times in the last month, and despite some of these lower altitude resorts having a tough time, I was really impressed with what you have in terms of a base and the conditions as well with more snow last weekend. So
yeah,
good news.
Yeah. That's good.
All right, guys, thanks so much for being here. Again, for more information, go to youtube.com/Kokanee. Watch the videos. Cool stuff. Grab yourself a Peak Brew by Kokanee. Adam Coates, Rocket Miller, thanks for being on the snow show.
Thanks for having us.
All right, there you are. Kokanee, Lake Louise, and myself. It's a nice fit. I've tried this before. It's worked very well. By the way, just a couple centimeters fresh snow around the western, I should say eastern side of the Rockies here. So a little bit of snow out there that's brand new. And conditions getting better with the cold weather. We're not too worried about those spring-like conditions at the moment. And hopefully more snow on the way as some places got a bunch. The last 24 hours, 15 centimeters in Kimberley. Panorama got dumped on. That's only 3 hours away. They got 10 centimeters in the last day. Nikiska's got 15 in the last 48 hours. So depending where you're looking to go, there is a lot of skiing left. As for the big ones, Lake Louise, a couple centimeters. Sunshine Village, 3 centimeters in the last 24 hours, and Norquay a couple as well. So the three Banff ones, 2-3 centimeters, but a little more elsewhere, depending on where you're going. And yes, lots of ski season left, as long as you're not those southern Alberta, southern BC, lower altitude ones, and even Kimberley. Nice little dump there. You kind of like that. Finally, just a thank you to Lou's Performance Center for their sponsorship of the snow show this season. Like we said before the segment with the two gentlemen from Kokanee and Lake Louise, lots of ski season left. And now's the time when you save money. Check out Lou's online, www.lous.ca, or his location just west of Memorial and Crowchild. We'll come back with some CFL talk as the Stampeders are breaking news today. A major announcement at 11 a.m. We'll pick the brain of Arash Madani. Just what's happening with the Stamps. They're holding a press conference early in March. That's next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Fan 960 Pinder on Twitter. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your luggage and the family dock to the next hockey tournament. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
9:42 on your Tuesday. Ryan Pinder in until 10 o'clock. Your texts and thoughts at 960-960. The big news today, apparently coming up at 11 o'clock, the Stampeders have announced a major press conference. And for more on that, Sportsnet CFL insider Arash Madani. Good morning, Arash. How are you?
Ryan, I'm great, man. How are you doing?
Well, this is big news. I'm good, and it sounds like Bo Levi will be in red and white for a while. That's an extension for the number one quarterback for the Stampeders. That's the news, right?
That is the news, and it's amazing, Ryan, when we think about the evolution of the career of Bo Levi Mitchell, who incredibly today turns 25. Just think over the last 3 years of where he's been in pro football, where he's been even on the depth chart in the organization, and where he has vaulted himself to in such a short period of time. It really wasn't that long ago he was buried on the depth chart, and there was intrigue as to this kid and what he was about behind Kevin Glenn and Drew Tate. And now he finds himself locked up as the guy moving forward.
And how much of that is on Bo Levi, and how much of credit would you send to John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson, guys that clearly have had some success with the position and at the position?
Oh, I mean, look, it's all part of it. It's an organizational success. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the play calling of Dave Dickinson and, you know, the development of Mitchell. But ultimately, the kid had to go out and do it, and he did. And so often in this, you know, in the CFL especially, so many quarterbacks are brought in and brought out and shuffled in and out because they're just unable to adapt to the Canadian game, to the field, to the rules, to, you know, an altogether different version of football that they've been used to their entire life. Mitchell wasn't that guy. Mitchell was the guy who was able to embrace it, not quite right away, but I thought there were a couple of things that stood out. You know, after the Grey Cup win, John Huffnagel said, no moment is too big for him. And at every single opportunity, whenever it was presented to Mitchell, come in relief in your first game, start your first game, play your first playoff game, go on, you know, every single milestone he was able to deliver in those situations. This has been in the making for quite some time, this extension, but it's a result of being able to deliver and being able to perform at every significant stop along the way.
What about Bo Levi has allowed him to have this success? It's not often we're talking about a 25-year-old quarterback that is the number one that led the league in quarterback rating that was your Grey Cup MVP. Why him?
Well, he's the guy, man. I mean, look, it's definitely a different path that he's gone. I mean, he transferred out of Division I, but everywhere he's been, you know, he's been a champion in high school, in college, when he ended up at Eastern Washington. And there's a moxie to him. I mean, Ryan, you've talked with him. You've seen this guy develop. You've seen him grow before your very eyes. I thought one thing that Dave Dickinson pointed out during Grey Cup week that was interesting, he said, nothing really phases Bo. And here's a guy who just goes about his business and he delivers. I mean, he's your quintessential Texan, right? The Texan quarterback, old Bo Levi. He's got the gun in the holster, and he's able to fire the bullets where they need to be. And we saw that in the Grey Cup, the 10 consecutive completions at a time when the team needed it most. Just as the momentum started to shift in the third quarter after the big Justin Hickman hit on Rob Maver, it was Mitchell who led the team down the field with a huge drive that ended up being, you know, the game-winning points. These are the moments. These are the snapshots. These are the opportunities that Mitchell's been given, and he's thrived in them, which is why, you know, when you add it all up upon final analysis, he's your franchise quarterback.
Franchise quarterback already. It is something. Just his first year as the starter right out of the gate. Where does he rank around the CFL with an aging Ricky Ray and some other? It seems like a transitional phase if you look at the ages of the CFL starting quarterbacks.
Well, yes and no, though. I mean, Ricky Ray sure is getting up there, but you know, the guy that Mitchell dueled against in the Grey Cup, Zach Caleros, is a young guy too, who's definitely on the rise. He's an up and coming dude. There's no question there. Mike Riley is another, you know, quarterback who I think, if he's healthy, and who knows about Jonathan Crompton over in Montreal, could he be the next guy? We'll find out. But there's definitely two eras and two generations here, and it's split in the middle over in BC with Travis Lule, just because we're not sure of Lule's health and if he's able to sustain himself. Here's the deal, though, Ryan, is that Mitchell was locked up. All, you know, it was last January the St. Peter's gave him a contract extension. That had him locked up through 2016. Now they're giving him real starting quarterback money, and they have the security that they have himself locked up. Scott Mitchell of the Calgary Sun reports it's through 2018. Hey, to have a quarterback for four more seasons under contract, That's great security for the Stampede organization.
What is starting quarterback money in the league now in this new salary cap?
I mean, it all depends, and who knows how Mitchell's is going to be structured, but it's in the $450 vicinity.
Wow. And big news on the other side of the ball as well is as the Stampeders announced Juwan Simpson's got signed an extension as well. I suppose not a coincidence that the leaders on each side of the football are hanging around Calgary a little longer.
Yeah, and look, that's an interesting one to me because usually when you creep up in age, you start to wonder a little bit. And it was Simpson after the Grey Cup win who said, we're just getting started. He told me that in a one-on-one interview, and I remember walking away thinking, I wonder if he is going to be part of this thing that's just getting started moving forward. But
Simpson's the leader of the defense. You talk about a guy that you want, especially in a Rich Stubler's defense, Juwan Simpson fits that bill. Ultimate leadership guy, two rings now, and a guy who understands the defense. Makes a ton of sense. This is becoming very interesting now, Ryan, because a lot of the building blocks, I mean, we have seen very little departure from a personnel standpoint. Yeah, Nick Lewis is gone, but Mo Price is gone. But usually championship teams start to disintegrate because they're overpaid in free agency. And that hasn't happened in Calgary. And I'm very intrigued to see now coming into this 2015 season with so many of the main guys in place. Yes, Sinopoli's gone too. But receiver depth was never an issue with the Stamps. We may be on the verge of watching something pretty unique happen over there at McMahon.
And talking to Bo Levi, I mean, he's drooling at the potential of throwing to those two import receivers on the outside. I mean, they're not going to really miss Nick Lewis in terms of they're still probably one of the strongest receiving cores at import in the league.
Yeah, no question. It's been that way for quite some time. And that's the beauty of the depth of this organization. At no point along the way has the loss of one or two players in season due to injury or one or two players due to departure via trade or free agency affected this group. And that's what you want to build. That's what they're trying to do over there in Ottawa, and they're having a difficult time in their infancy of doing it, is to build depth. That's a difficult thing to do in the salary cap era, and the Stampeders have done a really nice job of building a roster properly.
What do you make of the trade they made earlier in the offseason, bringing in another linebacker? Was that just simply a situation where you deal from an area of strength at a receiver and add in another area, or was this just a simple player they've been chasing? How did you see that shake down?
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you look at that situation. Okay, Mo Price is, he's coming off a series of injuries at a position where speed is a premium. You have a position where you are so deep in that area. You know, the Stampeders had to sit throughout the postseason a receiver, and they shuffled who exactly it was going to be, but a receiver who could start on any team in the league. So you give up Price, who's your highest paid receiver, who's your oft-injured receiver, and you get yourself a young, dynamic, impact linebacker that Ottawa really liked, and many CFL people that you talk to really like too, in Jasper Simmons. So I like that trade for Calgary. I understand why the Red Blacks had to do it. Henry Burris had nobody to throw to. Now, over there in Ottawa, they've significantly upgraded their receiving core. But when you're dealing from the position of strength, which the Stampeders were, those are the kinds of trades that can really help your football team.
Where are we at in the offseason? What kind of timelines are we looking at in terms of teams getting together or maybe contractual things to look for? What can we expect between now and week one?
Well, it's March now, so this is cattle call season. This is when all the CIS prospects that are looking for pro opportunities are going to gather at first at regional combines, Ryan, and then ultimately they're going to meet in Toronto at the end of the month for the national combine. And so they'll be put through the test of 40-yard dashes and height and, long jump and high jump. And they'll also go through the interview process with teams where football teams want to find out just how important football is to these kids. And then that will then lead into April and then the draft. And, once May rolls around, the draft is complete. You're only looking at a few more weeks until training camp. So at this point, it's about now, we saw Billy Parker, the LOS, get extended and Mitchell and Simpson. At this point now, moving forward, the focus will be on the evaluation camp, the combine, the draft, and then ultimately getting ready for rookie camp and main training camp.
Rash, appreciate your insights on the Stamps here. As you've noted, that you'll have a piece up on sportsnet.ca very soon on the extension for Bo Levi. Just thoughts on the Renaissance man that you are. What else is coming up? I know the Jays are just getting underway, and the tennis season, we're through the first major already. What's next on your radar?
Actually, I'm in Vancouver. I'm heading out to UBC today, Ryan, where Canada will play Japan in Davis Cup World Group. It'll be Milos Raonic against Kei Nishikori. Nishikori is now actually fourth in the world, and Raonic is hovering around 6 and 7. They're going to meet Sunday in what should be a heavyweight fight. This is their seventh match all time. They're 2-2 in their last four, including one of the longest matches in U.S. Open history in September. So it should be fun. Canada and Japan beginning Friday on Sportsnet 1.
And it's a tough matchup for Raonic. You'd think it'd be, you know, with that reach and that huge serve, but Nishikori's giving him a real tough time.
Hey, man, you're talking about, again, a top four player in the world.
Yeah.
It's no joke. I mean, you know, we always talk about the top four being Fed, Nadal, Djokovic, and Andy Murray. Kei Nishikori has crept ahead of Andy Murray
wow.
in the tennis hierarchy.
That's pretty impressive, and I'm sure to much acclaim in Asia. That's big news. You don't see that very often. Finally, just
17 Japanese journalists have been credentialed
in
for this event. They have come over from Japan because Kei Nishikori is representing his country. And people kind of in Canada sometimes scoff at Davis Cup. I'm very fortunate. I get to travel the world and cover tennis, but this is what happens. This is the reality of how big and significant Davis Cup is. 17 Japanese journalists are here in Vancouver for a weekend tennis competition against Canada. That's the significance globally of this event.
And is this a homecoming of sorts for Vasek Pospisil, now more famous and successful than he's been in near his home turf? Who's on this team? Is it Dancevic and Nestor as well?
Yeah, it's Milos Raonic, Vasek Pospisil, Frank Dancevic, and Daniel Nestor. The interesting part for Pospisil is actually later today over at the Kitsilano Beach tennis courts. They have 11 tennis courts over there. They're actually dedicating a plaque and commemorating Pospisil for his Wimbledon doubles title win last year with Jack Sock, the one that came out of nowhere. Sock and Pospisil haven't played this season, Ryan, because Sock actually underwent hip surgery, but they're scheduled to finally play together later this month. And I'm very intrigued to see as we get into the spring and the summer and the boatload of tournaments ahead, if they're able to recreate the magic that had them, you know, atop the doubles world last year.
Yeah, and Postel's healthy. He was fighting at times last year. Where's he at right now?
Yeah, his health is terrific, which is something that he's really needed because he's had a number of injuries he's had to deal with along the way.
Arash, fantastic catching up. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the Davis Cup in Vancouver, and hopefully you've got some sunny skies and beautiful Vancouver this time of year.
Always good, Ryan. Thanks, man.
All right, that is Arash Madani from Sportsnet.ca. His piece on Bo Levi Mitchell will be up later today. Of course, our CFL insider, and nice talk a little tennis as well. Arash, a well-versed guy. It doesn't really matter which sport you're heading to. Let's go to the text line, 960-960. What's up? Where's our segment? 945 guy. Yeah, what you want to talk about has now moved. That's right. Still around. 845, your new what you want to talk about time weekdays as Rhett Warner joins the chaos of the maybe the most nonsensical 20 minutes in sports radio in the country, but probably the most entertaining. Elsewhere, signing Mitchell, good for the team, but really a press conference? It's not that big of a deal at all. Come on now, text line. This is your franchise quarterback, as Arash Madani said. Yes, you have a press conference. This is a long-term extension, and as Arash pointed out, that it's rumored to be a four-year contract, 2015, 16, 17, and 18. That would be your prime years of quarterbacking, taking Bo Levi, well, let's see, 4 years to his 29th birthday. Pretty cool. So that would be big news for an organization that just won a Grey Cup. The MVP of which game is the guy getting extended. Hey, Pinder, can you talk like Arnie for the full hour of your show? Well, thank you for the text. I don't think that would be appropriate, but hey, if Airwolf drops and we have a David Wolf update, then that's what happens. So that's what happened earlier. Not Arnie, David Wolf. I'm strategically pressing my mute button. Well, thank you. That's some not always positive feedback. The new show was... not always welcome with fanfare, but also lots of people saying good stuff to hear Dean on early, and you get 9 to 10. So thanks for all the kind words, and even the mean ones are kind of fun because you can throw them up on the website. Pinder, you suck, which is one of my favorite hobbies on the side. And if you're bored at work, that's probably a very good place. Jay, have you indulged in the Pinder, you suck website lately?
I love Pinder, you suck.
Isn't it awesome?
.wordpress.com.
I have all my buddies I've sent it to who have traveled around the world for work, or they don't really know what I'm up to. Or, hey, you still doing that radio thing? You still in Penticton? No, I'm in Calgary again. I say, listen, if you go to the washroom to do not a one, but the other one, and you don't go to my website on your phone, you're dead to me. That's how much this website means to me. For more, head to it right now. PinderYouSuck.wordpress.com. We should probably get out of here, Jay. What do you say? 9:59. Thanks for doing it. Day one of the new format. Thanks for tuning in yesterday for the big trade deadline show. We've got Pat Steinberg at noon getting you set for Flyers and Flames tonight. Early start out east, 5 o'clock with Lubo and Wills the call, and of course your Flames warm-up at 4 o'clock. This is your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're a good man.